I'm speaking with Kimberly Taylor with the Alternative Fuel Vehicle Institute. And Kimberly, I would like, first of all, for you to tell us a little bit just about the Institute and what its mission and purpose is.
Okay. We're a nonprofit organization based in Las Vegas, Nevada. And the purpose of the organization is to educate people about alternative fuel vehicles and the fuels they run on, and to encourage the deployment of those vehicles and fuels.
We have the Clean Cities Congress coming up in Phoenix here in just a couple days, and this is an annual event that your organization organizes. Can you tell us who all attends this event and what kinds of activities will take place there?
We have a wide range of people who attend the event. This year, for the first time, we have focused extensively on fleets, and we're really interested in trying to encourage and educate more fleets about the cost savings potential and the air quality benefits of using alternative fuels and advanced technologies. We had a grant from Alternative Fuel Vehicle Solutions, they're based in Mesa, Arizona, to cover the registration fees for 100 fleets. And we have about 150 fleets that are registered to attend the conference. Of course, that's not the only group that comes. We have a lot of people from city, state, and federal government agencies, and they range from policymakers to people who run programs that are related to fuels, vehicles, and air quality. We have people from academic institutions, a lot of industry people, and of course, Clean Cities coordinators from around the country.
Tell us who those coordinators are. When you say coordinators for Clean Cities, who are these people and what is their job?
The Clean Cities Network is a pretty amazing network. It is a program that was started by the Department of Energy in 1992, and at that point there were no Clean Cities coalitions, and today there are 88. And coalitions have to go through a pretty rigorous application process in order to be designated by the Department of Energy as a coalition. Clean Cities coordinators are the people who lead their coalitions, and their coalitions are comprised of industry people who benefit from other people purchasing alternative fuel vehicles and using alternative fuels. So it's a lot of industry people. The coalitions themselves range dramatically in who they're hosted by, how they're paid. Some of them spend 5% of their time on Clean Cities, while others are able to spend 100% of their time. They can be based in councils of government. Some of them are based in lung associations. Some of them are actually part of city governments. It's a pretty broad range. There are 4,500 stakeholders represented through these 88 coalitions, so it's a really remarkable national network for the advancement of alternative fuels.
One of the things that I find interesting about it is that you aren't focused on just one fuel type. You do have sort of a broader approach to different types of fuels that would fit into this category of alternative. Can you talk about that and what kinds of people this then brings together?
You know, I wish I could take credit for the umbrella approach, because in 1992, when the program was founded, somebody had really great vision to say what we know so clearly today, which is there is no silver bullet solution to the problem of the end of oil. And in order for us to transition to whatever is going to help us with our future transportation energy sources, we have to be able to rely on a bouquet of alternative fuels and technologies in order to successfully make that transition. Our position is that it is not up to us to decide for fleets which fuel is the best for them, and it varies pretty dramatically based on what part of the country you live in, what infrastructure is available, and even in some cases what fuels are available. And as you well know, the Midwest is just a hotbed for biofuels right now, and while they're growing to other states, the best fuel choice for a lot of fleets in the Midwest are ethanol and biodiesel. In California, there's a lot of natural gas infrastructure, and so natural gas is a fuel of choice. So it really depends on where you live.
along with some of the educational programs that will take place at the Clean Cities Congress, there is a trade show or expo. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about who all will be exhibiting there and what people will find.
The trade show is really an exciting trade show. It's sort of a mini version of the auto shows that people read about throughout the year. But what we focus on, of course, are alternative fuel vehicles. So there are a lot of AFVs that are on the show floor. People can see the latest vehicles that are out there. Honda will have a fuel cell vehicle. The organization that's the Association for Electric Vehicles will also have they'll have a hydrogen internal combustion engine van. So people will be able to see some of the more advanced vehicles, but we'll also have the vehicles that are available for fleets to purchase today. Honda, Toyota, General Motors, Ford, Daimler, Chrysler, they'll all be there showcasing their products. We also have a number of component manufacturers, people who deal with CNG tanks, storage tanks. A lot of people who represent fuel associations will be there and trying to direct people to fuel providers and educating them about the air quality benefits and the cost comparisons between petroleum and their individual fuel. So it's a pretty diverse group of people who are on the exhibit floor. We call it one-stop shopping for alternative fuels because any question you have, there will be a service provider or a manufacturer on the floor who will be able to answer it.
Looking at the registration that you have for the conference this year, how does that compare to last year, and what do you see or hear in terms of the excitement and interest in this alternative fuels, especially for fleets, as you said this is going to be the focus this year?
We have a 5% increase in attendance this year. We have about 820 people who registered in advance. Last year we had 1,250 people, so we expect to have a little more than that this year who attend. For AFVI on our website every day, we post daily news headlines, and that's my job first thing in the morning to scan what's out there. And I can't tell you the jump in news coverage since the energy bill passed last summer and since post-Katrina oil prices went up so high. It's just amazing, the public interest in alternative fuels. And of course, fleets have a dramatic reason to invest and to care about it right now because they need to find affordable alternatives. There was a story in the news this week out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, where the school district decided to close down on Friday and Monday because they're way over their price projections for fuel. When things like that start to happen, it becomes a very tangible, real issue for fleets. So they care a lot. The public cares a lot. There's a tremendous amount of interest right now.
Well, we certainly think so,
yes.
And that's hence the reason why domestic fuel came into existence, and certainly we've seen that interest in just looking at the number of visitors who have been coming to the site. Well, thank you very much, Kimberly Taylor. I will be at the Clean Cities Congress. Look forward to meeting you there and learning a lot more and bringing that to the visitors to domestic fuel. With this report on the Clean Cities Congress, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.